Things were often pretty informal because we had small congregations. In Jesus' name. The Ten Commandments truthfully answer two questions that every human being asks. Who am I? And what am I here for? The first three commandments assume that we are creatures who live in relationship with God. Now, since God is our creator, that might sound obvious. And yet, it isn't so obvious to us, because none of us are born truly knowing that. Some people do have a sort of spiritual curiosity from a young age. They might ask questions about God, or even come up with ideas about God that just seem true to them. But our ideas about God are not much of a place for us to begin to know Him or ourselves. Our notions amount really to guesses, and they're likely to be off base. The first commandment is actually a better place for us to begin. You shall have no other gods before me. God is God. He's the only one. He commands us to have only Him as our source of life, as our God, our source of good. Now, God would hardly need to say this to us if we did not depend on things that aren't Him as if they were. And we do, don't we? Every good and perfect gift comes from God, but our hearts are more attracted often to the gifts that He gives than to Him as the good giver. We also put our faith in ourselves as if we are gods, the masters and mistresses of our destiny, the pilots of our life. The first commandment warns us, though, that we live by a lie if we look to anything other than the true God for life and good. Our false gods, our idols, our frauds, they let us down. In fact, they give us nothing but anxiety, guilt, and fear that drives us even farther from God. God's first command also teaches us that our unfaithful dependence on things that aren't God insults and angers Him. He is jealous for us. Jealous not in the bad way that we all think of when we think of human beings and envy and jealousy, but jealous in the sense that He created us for Himself, and He doesn't want to share us with anything that's less than Him. God made us. We belong to Him. And He warns that He will punish us with hardship when we persist in going our own way in life. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Now, God takes no pleasure in punishing us with troubles, disappointments, and losses in life. But He does so to convince us to return to Him, for only He can save us from the death that threatens all of us. Now, we have the second commandment. Now, the second commandment shows us that God wants us to know and relate to Him person to person. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Names do a lot more than just identify us. Names usher us into relationships with others. Knowing God's name, we can call upon Him to praise Him, thank Him, and petition or ask of Him. We can also tell about God to convey the knowledge of Him to others. God has revealed His name to you and to me so that we may know Him truly and live with Him rightly. But this commandment also alerts us that God's name is not to be used casually, profanely, or in service of lies. OMG, you've seen that acronym before. It's a popular phrase that suggests that God's name is no more than a word for expressing fear or anger or surprise. But the name of Jesus literally means God saves. And so how foolish it is for us to use his name to curse things that displease us. The name of God is the name of divine blessing. God is truth. He rejects everything that is false. He does not suffer to have his name spoken in support of teachings or practices that portray him falsely. For those kinds of things only place further obstacles in the way of us knowing God for who he really is. Now, the third commandment was given to us to help us to remain in proper relationship with God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Along with his holy name, God has given us his holy word. The true God speaks to us. Are we listening? God's first people, the Israelites, were bound to set aside their work on the last day of the week in order to gather together to recall the words and the works of God. Work is a good gift of God, but it becomes perverted into an idol when it is used to trumpet the glory of our skill, our power, or our wisdom to other people. It actually becomes an idol and enslaves us and drives us to justify our existence with our work, and it leaves us with no time for rest. God commands us to step away from our work and even our play to attend to his words. Be still and know that I am God. Times of rest are times to listen to God's word. His word sets us free from the illusion that our work is all important by telling us the history of God's work. God made us, not we ourselves. God feeds us. He keeps us alive and safe. And through his Son, God rescues us from the pride that would turn us into godless workaholics. In Jesus, we see the true purpose for our work. In his righteousness, Jesus worked not for himself to glorify himself, but for the glory of God the Father. In his prayer recorded by John, Jesus confesses this purpose. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. Jesus glorified his Father by working for the good of his neighbors. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The gift of Christ's life for you and for me is the crowning glory of his saving work. Through the first three commandments, though all of them find us guilty before God and worthy of his eternal judgment, God's word bids us to look in faith to the work of Jesus for grace, forgiveness, and help to live in the way of his commandments. God saves us from sin, death, and hell by the work of his Son who gives us eternal life. And what is eternal life? Well, hear Jesus' definition. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Jesus has brought us full circle. Commandments 1, 2, and 3 are meant to lead us to know God and to live our lives in communion with him, but sin holds us in rebellion against him. Jesus, therefore, came along and embodied eternal life for all of us, knowing God. He knows God perfectly, for he is God's Son and true man, free from the chains of sin. His servant work and his sacrificial death, by these Jesus has broken the bonds in which sin held us. And he invites us to live with him in the fear, love, and trust of God, worshiping only the one true God through Christ. The one true God whose word gives us, or whom we know and we worship and serve in his name, and whose word gives us saving rest now and when it brings us to perfect peace in heaven. Who are we? Why are we here? We are the ransomed of the Lord, the ones he has bought for God. Once we were lost, we knew neither God nor ourselves, but Jesus has brought us home to the house of our Father. Through Christ, we delight ourselves in God our life. We glorify God by serving him and by waiting for him to glorify us in his presence.